Ever wonder how manufacturers make sure your plastic stuff like doesn't end up all warped?
Right.
It's engineering. We're going deep on cooling channel layouts today.
The hidden plumbing inside molds.
Crucial for injection molding. We've got articles, case studies, the whole shebang,
Yeah.
ready to see how these channels can, make or break a product.
It is fascinating, isn't it? Something as simple as temperature, having such a huge impact.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay, so our sources, they start off with a pretty basic question. How does the shape of what you're making affect the cooling channel design? Like, is cooling a bottle cap different from, say, a car part?
You've hit on a key point right away. With basic shapes, like say a round bottle cap, a simple straight-through layout often works.
Okay, keeping it simple.
Yeah. One source even mentioned a ring-shaped channel specifically for a bottle cap.
Interesting, to make sure it cools evenly.
Exactly, all around the edges. But then you get into, more complicated shapes like you find in a car's interior, and things get, well, trickier.
Yeah, can imagine. All those curves and dips and stuff.
Right. Try cooling that evenly with a basic channel. You'd end up with a warped mess.
Total disaster.
Yeah.
So for those complex shapes then, what kind of designs do they use?
It's like, imagine you got to get the cooling fluid to every little bit of the mold, right? So instead of a straight line, you might go with a serpentine or like a spiral layout.
Okay, so more winding paths.
Yeah. Creating a longer pathway, basically.
Makes sense. Even cooling everywhere. Our sources also mention wall thickness.
Ah.
Big factor. Is it true that uneven thickness makes things way harder?
Oh, absolutely. Throws a real wrench in the works because different parts of the mold will cool at different speeds.
Gotcha.
Think of like a big plastic pallet, thick in the center, right? If you don't account for that, the edges could cool and solidify way faster, warping, cracks, you name it.
So how do they handle that then? One source talked about a zoned approach. What's that all about?
Basically, it's like, different cooling plans for different areas of the mold.
Okay, customized.
Right. In thicker sections, you might use, say, bigger channels or adjust the flow rate of the coolant to slow things down.
Interesting. So everything solidifies at like roughly the same pace.
Precisely. Prevents all those, defects we talked about.
This is making me think about all the stuff I use daily and how much goes into making sure it's actually, durable. Never thought about the cooling aspect.
It's a hidden world that most people don't even consider, and we're just getting started. Haven't even touched on high precision stuff where a tiny temperature difference can be like catastrophic.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good point. The sources mentioned precision needs. Is that about making sure a part is the exact right size?
Exactly right. Like, think about an optical lens for your glasses or a camera.
Oh, yeah, gotta be perfect.
They need incredibly precise dimensions, optical clarity, even a little bit of warping. Useless.
So how do they get that level of precision then? Sounds like some pretty advanced techniques.
You're catching on. For that kind of thing, they use special techniques like inlay layouts, cooling inserts right in the mold.
Wait, so they put what, mini channels inside the mold?
Perfectly. Imagine these precisely placed channels, fine-tuned temperature control in those critical areas.
Wow. So they can hit those super tight tolerances. It sounds like these advanced cooling techniques are really pushing the limits of what's possible.
They really are. Not just making things better, but opening up whole new design possibilities.
This is already blowing my mind, and we're just getting started.
And the cool thing is, we're really just scratching the surface here. It's not just about avoiding, weird shapes. This stuff impacts the whole manufacturing process.
Right. It's fascinating how one little thing can have such a ripple effect. Like our sources talk about faster production, better quality overall.
Exactly. So production times first. By optimizing cooling, you can really cut down that time it takes for the plastic to solidify, in the mold.
Okay, so they're cranking out more parts per hour.
Yeah. Huge for efficiency and, of course, cost.
So not just faster, but cheaper too. Win-win.
Exactly. And often, faster production means, using less energy per part, which is, well, good for the environment.
Right. Got to be sustainable these days. But what about quality? How does better cooling actually make the product better?
We touched on warping and cracks, but it's more than that. Uneven cooling, it can create stresses inside the plastic.
Makes it weaker.
Exactly, more likely to break later on. Advanced cooling techniques, they prevent that by making sure things solidify evenly. Stronger, more durable products.
Makes you wonder if. Like those flimsy plastic things you buy sometimes, maybe they had bad cooling design.
Could be. And it's not just about things lasting longer either, it's about precision consistency.
Makes sense, especially for those high precision parts we talked about. But the sources also mention, like, new design possibilities. What's that about?
So imagine you're trying to make something really intricate, you know, fine details, thin walls, using old cooling methods. Good luck.
Yeah, sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Right. Warping, defects galore. But with these advanced techniques, those limits kind of start to disappear. Designers can get more creative, more innovative, without sacrificing quality.
So cooling tech is like pushing the boundaries of design itself. That's pretty cool.
It is. And this leads to another interesting point. Cost efficiency. Yeah, adopting these new techniques, it might cost more upfront.
Right, gotta invest.
But they often lead to big savings over time.
Yeah, I get that. Faster production, less waste, anything else?
Oh, yeah. When your parts are higher quality, fewer defects, that means less rework, less scrap. Saves on materials, labor. The whole manufacturing process gets smoother and cheaper.
It really sounds like these advancements are changing the whole industry in so many ways. Are there any particular techniques that like stand out as super innovative?
One that's really cool is conformal cooling. Imagine it's like a cooling system that's molded perfectly to the shape of the part.
So maximum efficiency.
Exactly. Super uniform heat transfer.
How do they even do that, though? Sounds incredibly precise.
They use cutting-edge stuff, 3D printing, laser sintering, all to create these really complex channel shapes. It's like sculpting the cooling system perfectly.
Wow, next-level personalization. What are the advantages of that over the, you know, traditional methods?
Well, it can cut down cycle times even more, boost quality even higher. And it lets you make things with incredibly thin walls, delicate features, stuff that used to be impossible.
So it's like a game changer for industries where you need extreme precision, detail. What else is on the horizon, though? Anything else cool coming up?
Another area that's getting a lot of attention is microchannels. These tiny channels, sometimes just a couple millimeters wide.
Tiny.
Yeah. And they have way more surface area for heat transfer compared to, like, regular channels.
So more surface area, faster cooling.
Exactly. Perfect for products that need, like, really precise temperature control or have those super small features.
Mm-hmm.
We're already seeing them used in cars, aerospace, medical devices, electronics, all sorts of stuff.
So it's like cooling tech is going mini. But are there any, you know, downsides to these tiny channels? Challenges?
The biggest one is actually making them. Creating molds with those intricate micro channels that takes special equipment, expertise. Not everyone can do it.
A barrier to entry.
Yeah. But as technology improves, gets more accessible, you know, we'll see microchannels everywhere. They'll really shape the future of manufacturing.
It's amazing how much innovation there is in this field, like always something new popping up. What are researchers working on now?
A lot of focus on new cooling fluids. Imagine coolants that can absorb and get rid of heat even faster.
Okay, so even faster cycle times, even better control.
Exactly. There's this constant push to, like, break the limits of what's possible.
Makes sense. And what about, like, controlling the cooling process itself? Any advancements there?
Oh, yeah. People are developing intelligent control systems. They can actually adjust the cooling in real time based on sensor data.
Wow. So it's like the cooling system has a brain.
Pretty much. It adapts, optimizes itself for the best possible outcome. And with all the advancements in sensors, AI, these systems are getting smarter and smarter all the time.
This has been an incredible journey so far, from basic shapes and straight channels all the way to, like, conformal cooling and AI-powered systems. Cooling tech is definitely not standing still.
It really shows how creative people can be, you know? Always striving for better, faster, more efficient. And as we dig deeper, we see this hidden world of complexity, sophistication that most people never even imagine.
And I know I'll never look at a plastic product the same way again. Mm-hmm. Really makes you think, huh, like this one thing, cooling, it's shaping the world around us.
It shows you just how important every little step is in the manufacturing process. And as we've seen, there's so much thought, so much cleverness behind even the simplest plastic things.
I'm telling you, I will never look at a water bottle the same way again. But before we go, let's bring it back to our listener. What's the big takeaway here? Why should they care about all this cooling stuff?
I think it's about, you know, appreciating how much work goes into making the stuff we use every day. Next time you pick up something plastic, think about the journey it took, the mold, the cooling channels, the engineers.
Like a little secret, a behind-the-scenes look.
Exactly. And maybe it'll, you know, spark some curiosity, make people want to learn more about how things are made, all those hidden layers of, well, genius.
Totally. For those who are ready to dive in, where should they start?
The internet, honestly. So much good stuff out there. Videos showing off these crazy cooling techniques, case studies on how companies are using them, even online courses if you want to get really technical. Something for everyone.
This deep dive has been, well, eye-opening, to say the least. Maybe one of our listeners will become the next big cooling innovator.
The future of manufacturing is wide open, and as we've learned, cooling is a big part of that. Exciting times.
Couldn't agree more. And on that note, we'll wrap up our deep dive into the world of cooling channel layouts. Hope you enjoyed it, learned a thing or two, and maybe even gained a new appreciation for all the plastic stuff around us. Until next time, stay curious.